decline in youth mental health levels, and the Prime Minister doubles down on Senator Payman. Hello, I'm Adam Evans with the NIRS News. Youth mental health levels used to be relatively stable until something changed about a decade ago. Researchers found that after 2012, as some of the most popular global social media platforms were taking off, young Australians began reporting a sharp drop in mental well-being. Between 2011 and 2022, young women and girls aged between 15 and 24 reported their mental health scores dropped from 73% to 62% after remaining largely unchanged for the 11 years prior. Young men also experienced a decline in their mental health, down from 74.5% to 67.5%. The revelations come from an analysis released today by the unaligned economic think tank E61 Institute for the Household Income and Labour Dynamics in Australia survey, which tracks the lives of more than 17,000 Australians each year. The Prime Minister says peace in the Middle East won't be achieved by political stunts and violent activism in Australia. Greens leader Adam Bent asked Anthony Albanese why he placed more sanctions on Labor Senator Fatima Payman for speaking out about Palestine than on the Israeli government for invading Palestine. Mr. Albanese says the government's position has been consistent and that any recognition of Palestine depends on the peace plan put forward by the US Biden administration. The Prime Minister told Parliament unruly activists and Greens tactics won't bring peace any closer.
It won't be achieved by resolutions in the Senate and stunts by the Greens. It won't be achieved. It won't be achieved by those people who choose to desecrate war memorials.
The member for Moreton will leave the chamber under 94A.
Anthony Albanese also says Senator Payman could resign from the Labor Party in the coming days. The Greens say they will support the Coalition's supermarket divestiture proposal. The opposition this week announced it would commit to divestiture legislation as a last resort to break up uncooperative supermarket and hardware chains for breaching competition rules. Greens economic justice spokesperson Nick McKim says Labor is now the only party which is standing in the way of more competitive supermarket sectors.
That's what we've seen around the world where these laws exist. Australia's an outlier, and it's really great to see that we're now taking some significant steps towards ultimately getting more competition.
We'll have more coming up next.
It's round 17 of the 2024 AFL Premiership season for AFL Indigenous Broadcasting. Tomorrow, from 7 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, it's Collingwood taking on Essendon, live from Wurundjeri Lands at the MCG. And on Sunday, from 12:30 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, it's Melbourne taking on the West Coast Eagles, live from Wurundjeri Lands at the MCG. Broadcast throughout the nation by the National Indigenous Radio Service.
The National Indigenous Radio Service, the voices of our people.
To sport, and in the AFL, St Kilda have urged spearhead Max King to look to Carlton star Charlie Kurnow for inspiration after the luckless forward suffered a season-ending knee injury. King, who endured fierce criticism for his performance in a close defeat to Port Adelaide on Sunday, tore his posterior cruciate ligament when he hit the ground in a marking contest just after half-time against the Power. He played out the game, but subsequent swelling prompted the Saints to send King for scans. The injury is on the same knee that led him to missing two matches earlier this season. St Kilda believe the injuries are unrelated. King won't require surgery and did have the option of playing out the season, but will instead sit it out in an attempt to have a full pre-season for the first time in 3 years. And facing a season-defining month, the Western Bulldogs are undaunted by the size of the task confronting them. As the race for the AFL finals spots heat up, Ed Richard insists. The Bulldogs are back in the black with an 8-7 record and sit on the cusp of the top 8 following last week's scrappy win over North Melbourne. But a difficult test to Port Adelaide on Saturday is the first of 4 consecutive encounters with current top 8 sides that will put the Dogs to the test. After the Power, Luke Beveridge's men face Carlton at home and then trips to Geelong in Sydney in a tough July schedule. To stay up to date with the NIRS news, follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, or visit our website at nirs.org.au.
Applications are now open for Ergon Energy Network's apprenticeship program. Work outdoors with your hands, helping to build and maintain the electricity grid of the future. You'll get paid while you learn, and when you finish, you're fully qualified. Jobs are available right across Queensland, in major regional centres and small country towns, and you can even earn more in remote locations. They're looking for more First Nations peoples to join the team, so hurry, apply now. Applications close 15th of July. Go to ergon.com.au/apprenticeships.
Station sponsor.
Did you know that drinking any alcohol while you're pregnant can harm your bub? It's hard to stop drinking, but if you choose to drink alcohol while you're pregnant, it can leave your bub with all sorts of problems that can last their whole life. Remember, pregnancy and grog don't mix. If you need to yarn about it, visit your local Apunipamai Clinic and Wellbeing Centre. We're here to help. Our health and our bubba's health is in our hands.
Station sponsor.
Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
Back with Trendy Trev. Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Nakari, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Just Radio Service. And I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we're broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Have you saying yarn up strong? All right, too deadly. I'm going to jump straight in. We're going to catch up a yarn there. It's the segment, Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Pocone. IGA, Brinsmead and Edmonton, gives us a box of fruit here at Bumba Bibber Media. Healthy living, healthy lifestyle. That's the message we deliver. And to all our traditional owners across the beautiful country, I was welcome Black National Talk Black, have you say. And a big shout out to the Edmonton Police, all the gangs over there. And we've got joining us here, we've got Police Liaison Officer. We have Steve Grant, and he brought bodyguard. His bodyguard is Alan Dewis, who's Executive Director of the First Nation Division in a very important role. Gentlemen, good morning. How are we?
Good morning, Trevor.
Morning,
Trevor. Morning, morning, morning. How are you both going? Good morning.
Morning.
All good?
Yep.
Good, good, good. Steve, start with you. Who your mob? Where you from, brother?
Yep, I'm a proud Yidabal boy in the rainforest of the tropical rainforest of the Tully. Ravenside Division, wettest place in Australia, as you know.
Yes, that's right. And I did mention last week and the week before, you know, for the last 8-odd weeks, you know,
yep.
All the rain's been up this way.
That's correct.
We want to give that trophy back to you, mob, there where Tully, the wettest town in Australia, because we're sick of the rain up here. Oh, but it's
it warm, could be Bibinda yet.
Warm liquid, yeah, it could be Bibinda, that's right, exactly. Now, we've got Alan Dewis. Alan, very good morning, my brother. Who your mob, where you from?
Thanks, Trevor. So I'm a proud Torres Strait Islander, connections based to Boigu and Erebalan. So I grew up in Cairns in Bibinda, so very lucky to be in the region, Gimal Wallaba, Yindinji country.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. And big shout to TOs here. Congratulations, Executive Director of the First Nation Division. Now, this is your position is the first ever, and how long have you been in that role?
So we've been in the role 6 months now, Trevor.
6 months. So, first time this has ever happened, and creating a position like that, the QPS is really, active in this space in regarding Indigenous employment with QPS.
100%. So the QPS had commenced this role, or the division, which is it's a division for the whole state. It's in a response to the Commissioner inquiry in regards to QPS's response to domestic and family violence.
Sure, thank you. And we need to stamp that out, and we need to work up heavy in this space. Where are you based, Alan?
We have an office in Brisbane at this point. So primarily I'm in Brisbane, but as with large First Nations populations through the north, we're looking to establish an office in Cairns here as well.
Okay, fantastic. Bit of background, you were once a police officer, yes?
Yeah.
So did you climb up the ranks, did you?
Yep, I left the Probably did about 22 years. I think I left as an OC from my last station was Cowan. Probably the last 10 years of service was through Torres and Cape. Left the Queensland Police Service to go and practice law. Was a lawyer with Victoria Legal Aid and then come back to Queensland.
Oh, okay. So regarding working with the police force in the legality side of things as well. So buttering the bread on both sides, you could say.
Yeah, look, I think a unique perspective to see from both perspectives, and particularly as looking at more broadly as other than, you know, a mob are committing crimes, but looking at the problems within the system, what do we need to do to fix the system?
Sure. Yeah, well, double-edged sword, a knife cuts both ways, you know. So we need to look at how can we fix the problems in regarding First Nation people being incarcerated, but also on the other side of the coin is looking at the police force and how they engage or how they got the respect or, you know, stamping out racism as well. So that comes with a bit of weight, but it needs to be looked into in more ways than one.
Yes, absolutely. So racism, obviously, it's not just a problem with the Queensland Police Service, it's a problem
across the board,
across the board in society, and particularly as we're taking a serious steps forward to address racism. It was identified in the Commission of Inquiry, racism existing in the Queensland Police Service. Mm-hmm. So we've recently launched our Reframing the Relationship Plan 2024 to 2027.
Mm-hmm.
It's a legislative requirement from the Public Sector Act, and there are eight pillars in there, but one of the key actions that we will do, we'll address cultural safety within the Queensland Police Service. So talking about cultural safety, but more specifically, that's our intent to address racism, and so address it through education. So
exactly. So we're probably talking about cultural awareness at the centre, front and centre, would it be with the QPS engagement of Indigenous staff, if not police liaison officer, police officers as such, First Nation, and if not First Nation staff who are employed by QPS, yes?
Yes. So we've actually developed a cultural capability package. It's delivered to all recruits coming through the training at, and that cultural capabilities package will also be rolled out to all sworn staff, not sworn staff, all staff of the Queensland
Police. All staff, that's black and white.
Black and white. Mm. And so the I think the richness of that cultural capabilities package, it's been developed by First Nations panel of expertise from community.
Yes.
And very much as we've employed a panel, and they will deliver that across the state. And so
if we're talking law and order, we're talking leading from the front. And well done has been well said. So we need action in this space. And it's great that QPS is acting in this space, Alan.
I totally agree. The moving forward with the QPS is it has to be all about actions other than just nice words and stating some facts that we're going to make a change, but we actually have to show that with our actions.
To our Deadly listeners just tuned in, Trinity Trev here, Murray from the Curry with your Deadly program, National Talk Black, live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji country, BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. So the segment here, Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Piconi, IGA Brisbane Edmonton. They give us a box of fruit here at Bumma Bippa Media, healthy living, healthy lifestyle. And we're yarning with Police Liaison Service, Stephen Grant, and his daily bodyguard, Alan Dewis, who's the Executive Director of the First Nation Division. Been appointed in this position about 6-odd months ago. This position is a new appointed position. And look, leading from front, so we're talking high level. So you're up there as Executive Director, Alan, of the First Nation Division, and it's great that QPS has created space at the top end as well. So that in itself shows respect and shows that it's serious in regarding building bridges and making a space available for First Nation people to be staff of QPS, and that's the whole of the state, brother.
Yeah, we're a large organisation, QPS. As of 1 July, the organisation had gone from roughly 17,000 to 26,000. So what happened 1 July, Marine Rescue Queensland, SES have all become part of the Queensland Police Service. So it's not just about policing now, but also the main priority. And with those other additions coming to the organisation, it's really pushing through that community safety.
Yeah.
So particularly, you know, community feeling safe.
Sure.
As well as they are safe. So particularly, and that extends more for us as a focus on making sure First Nations communities have that filling as well.
Fantastic. Give us what your job entails at that level, Executive Director of the First Nation Division. So you are then communicating with the, you could say, the big knobs in regarding discussions that need to be had. You're at the table to add to the conversation and help guide this vehicle into the future in regarding Indigenous employment, yes?
Yes, yes. So I'm a part of the executive leadership team, which is about 40-odd members within the Queensland Police Service. And also, as you'd expect...
That's a big table.
Yeah, big table. yep. But also that sense of providing that expertise and leadership to the Commissioner in regards to First Nations, building positive outcomes.
And so, Alan, when this position was first put on the table, so to speak, how did they go in regarding recruiting for this position? Did you have to apply, or did you know somebody and you bought them lunch one day and then you got the job? Well, paint that picture, brother. How does that work?
It was a very long process, Trevor. It probably took about 7 months from the time that I applied for it.
Sure.
Strangely enough, I took the opportunity and went and took another job.
Was it like internal applications?
No, it was external. Yep. Australia-wide. Not sure how many applicants they got, but it took 7 months from application to shortlisting, interviews, vetting and so forth. So very
robust
process. So,
good. But you was it. Oil always rises to the top. Oh. You it.
Time will tell. Look, it's a big job. I made the decision. It was a hard decision to make to take this job because I think I had a good job with the Torres and Cape Hospital Health Service.
Okay.
Particularly for our mob in the region here, but sure. Leading the First Nations piece of work with that, and particularly in health equity. But given this is a statewide program, but also, the challenges our mob have in justice, important to work through some of those challenges and get better outcomes for us.
Yeah, fantastic, fantastic. So there you are, appointed new Executive Director of the First Nation Division. And I was here, big note myself, as being the first ever Indigenous person to be a councillor with Cairns Regional Council.
Correct.
As of last 6 weeks ago, still got my training wheels on. big note myself, but there you are. Here you are, Alan, Executive Director of the First Nation Division for Queensland Police Services. I mean, I'm looking up to you, my brother, you know what I mean? I thought I was up there, but I'm looking up to you. And I look up to you too, Steve, Police Liaison Officer. So it must be exciting to have a First Nation person at this high level as your senior, my brother.
Yeah, that's correct, Trevor. It's welcome to have Alan on board as our new ED, as we call him.
ED.
And obviously he's got a lot of communities or places that he's going to come across in this journey up here back in Cairns, like he's a Cairns boy.
Yes.
So we look forward to taking him on board to our travels too as a PLO, and I'm sure he'll visit us around the region, whether it's in Yarrabah, Edmonton, Mareeba, Innisfail, you name it. I'm sure he'll be out and about.
Yep, too deadly.
Yep. Shouting lunch, hopefully.
There you go, shut up. Fantastic. And so with your job there, Alan, so here we are, got a bodyguard as Stephen Grant, Police Liaison Officer, while you're here on the ground in Cairns. Tell us about your engagement with the PLOs, but also First Nation officers who are employed by QPS.
So First Nation staff are all in the QPS. We have a 4% target. And as I said, we've grown to 26,000, so don't actually have that percentage we have. But prior to 1 July, we're at 2.7%, so we're a bit over 200-odd.
So we can increase that, can't we?
We look to increase that.
Growth?
Actively doing recruitment in across all areas, police officers, police liaison officers, watch-house officers, protective service officers, and like myself, civilian staff, administration-type staff. So there are career pathways, but also there's lots of room to improve.
Sure.
Particularly looking at our young people in schools, universities, and creating opportunities for them to come through and have a career as well.
Fantastic. And in your team, you've got a team of people that work alongside you?
Yep, we're still building the team. At the moment, I have about 19 staff. There will be five areas, so teams within the team. So we have a First Nations recruitment and retention team. We'll have a First Nations cultural engagement team, policy and research team, a strategy team, and probably a really important piece that's happening in Queensland, but being embraced by the Queensland Police Service is the Truth Telling and Healing Team.
Whoa,
and
lovely,
so
yes.
We've created a task force to lead the Truth Telling and Healing Team.
Good.
But I think what adds to the legitimacy of the Queensland Police Service and how serious we've taken that, I have a director leading the Truth Telling and Healing Team.
Mm.
His name's Adam Chapman. So he's an Aboriginal man.
Sure.
And so also to support that in the credibility is I have a detective inspector who will lead an investigative task force
okay.
with that as well. And he's a Torres Strait Islander. His name is Jack Savage. So
okay.
He's from the region as well. So
fantastic.
You know, what I think it, for me, what it should display to particularly our mob in Queensland is that we have our people who will be involved in that process, but also bringing truths of the past,
yeah.
particularly.
So we're talking about black faces in those positions.
Yes.
Which is fantastic. I mean, Alan, as you know, we as black people know, you can't be black on black. But having black faces in there, you know, it is a black space. So it comes to fruition that should be the case. Yep.
100%. 100%. Mm. And look, and something that's probably not spoken about within the Queensland Police Service is some of the police, First Nations police have been around for a while and progressing through the ranks. At the moment, I have an acting superintendent, Samantha Bliss,
mm-hmm.
First Nations woman, Torres Strait Islander as well, from
Good.
Mackay.
Yep.
But to show that seniority... there and the legitimacy of what we bring to the organisation, but also to our communities.
Exactly, fantastic. Well, once again, congratulations. Good to be yarning with you, Alan. You don't have an office up here in Cairns, but you're working towards that, yep?
We're working on it. And so particularly is looking to have about 12 staff here based in Cairns.
Okay.
So actively recruiting. There'll be positions being advertised once we acquire an office.
Yes.
So encouraging people to... if they're interested,
sure.
throw an application in.
There you go. Fantastic. Well, congratulations once again. 6 months in the job and, look, leading from the front. Enjoy that journey and you, the right person for the job, apply for it. So 7 months of application and here you are now holding the reins. Fantastic. Stevie, like I said, good to have the boss man, you could say, in the city.
Yep.
And help you pull your socks up, hey, brother?
That's exactly right, Trevor. Mm. He'll be on us all every day. Don't you worry about that.
Looking over your shoulder
yep.
there, cuss.
Yep. Big shout out to the crew, PLOs over at Yarri too and across the state.
Yes.
I'm sure ED will be over there shortly.
Yeah.
Shout out to... OIC Dalai, who's back in the saddle on Monday
okay.
after having some time off.
Yes.
So, yeah, we're looking forward to it. And big hello to the Edmonton crew.
Fantastic.
And also the First Nations unit in Brisbane.
There you go. Big shout out to all your mob out there. Thank you very much, Steve. Great yarn with you, Alan Dewis. Congratulations, Executive Director of the First Nation Division. And whenever you're in Cairns, we'll get an office in Cairns. And, yeah, we should do lunch.
Yep,
thank you.
There you
go. Faith. Thank you. Courage. Faith. We'll yarn soon. Thank you very much. Beautiful yarn there with the boys in blue. Fantastic. Which Way Yarn is the segment and proudly sponsored by Pekoni IGA, Brinsmead Edmonton, and give us here at Bummer Bipper a box of fruit. Healthy living, healthy lifestyle. Chew on a banana or an apple rather than a Mars bar and Kit Kat. There you go, you mob. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
I can't. G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1800 422 416.
Brothers,
RK.
Hi, I'm Joe Madden, Director of Child and Family in Far North Queensland. My department is responsible for the child protection system here in Far North Queensland. We work to support parents and protect children when there is evidence of abuse and neglect. Children and young people who can't live safely at home rely on other families coming forward to open their hearts and their homes to care for them. Fostering kinship care is the heart and soul of our child protection system. My hope today is to provide a better understanding of the critical need for more members of the community to consider becoming foster or kinship carers. In 2022-23 year, there was an average of 600 approved carer families in Far North Queensland, which is fantastic. However, we really need more. In the same year, around 1,300 children were living away from home in the region. In other words, they weren't able to live with their families. Most of these were First Nations children. Of these First Nations children, 70% were in home-based care, such as foster or kinship care. However, this means 30%, or around 300 children, were not in foster or kinship care. They were in residential care or other care arrangements. For some young people, residential care is the right place for them because of their individual circumstances. This can include complex needs such as disabilities, and they get great care and support. But what we know is there are far too many very young First Nations children in residential care, and this is not what we want to see. We believe they should be living safely with foster and kinship care families in the community. And we believe this would give these little ones a better chance to thrive, learn and grow up strong in culture and life skills. So today we're asking members of the community to not wait to be asked. We would love for you to put your hand up because there are little ones who need you to come forward today. If you can help, please express an interest to us or to the local foster and kinship care agency in becoming a carer. Once you come forward, you will then receive information on the process, what's needed, and the allowances and the support that you'll receive. We know this might seem daunting to begin with, but we can assure you that agencies are there to train and support foster and kinship carers so they're not alone in doing this important job. Today, we have representatives from our culturally appropriate foster and kinship care service at Wootshopperin. Child Safety funds the organisation to recruit, train and support First Nations foster and kinship carers in Far North Queensland. Karen is able to talk more about the work they do and the support that's available for foster and kinship carers.
Here is an important message from Wootshopperin.
Hi, I'm Karen Salam. I manage the Foster and Kinship Care Service of Wootshopperin Health Service. Are you passionate about making a difference in an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child's life? Across North Queensland, there is an urgent need for more kinship, foster and relief carers for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. Every day, children are being removed from their homes due to harm, neglect or family crisis. What is Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service? Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service provides support to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander carers, opening their lives and homes to children in times of need. Our placement support workers work with the community to identify safe, caring and loving homes for long or short periods of time that will also provide strong family and cultural connections. Why be a kinship, foster or relief carer? By becoming a Wootshopperin kinship, foster or relief carer, you will help keep Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and young people safe during a challenging time in their lives. As a priority, and through your guidance, support and care, you will help our kids stay with or continue to be connected to their family, culture and community and reach their full potential. Being a carer is highly rewarding and makes an enormous difference to the lives of our young people. Carers are also celebrated and acknowledged for their dedication at events like the Fostering Kinship Carers Week. We are here to guide you. Wootshopperin's placement support staff works with carers every step of the way to support them on their journey. Carers will also have access to support and become equipped with new skills and knowledge to help provide care for our children. Additionally, carers receive support and training. Our staff are on call and there is a carer allowance which you can access. If you decide to become a carer, you will have a team of Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander workers to help you with any issues and provide strength in times of need. They will be there to celebrate the wins with you and help you move through the challenging times together. What's the next step? Our dedicated team will take you through every part of the process in becoming a carer. So if you are interested and ready to make a difference for our children, call Wootshopperin on 40801080 to learn more.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
Yeah, to Daily Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Yes, it is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. BBM Bumbleboot Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have your say and yarn up strong, you mob. You can also text a brother, 045-714-0550, and don't forget our Facebook page, well, BBM 987 FM. All right, looking at some news here, Indigenous netball star Danelle Wallum shares a disgusting letter after sponsorship controversy. Indigenous netball star Danelle Wallum has revealed a disgusting letter she received over the Netball Australia sponsorship controversy. Indigenous netball star Danelle Wallum has revealed a disgusting letter she received attacking her over the Netball Australian sponsorship drama. The Queensland Firebirds player found herself at the centre of a controversy in 2022 when, prior to her first game with the Australian Diamonds national team, she refused to wear the uniform featuring the logo of Gina Reinhart's Hancock Prospecting. Over racism comments made by her late father, mining magnate Lang Hancock, in the 1980s, suggesting Aboriginal people should be sterilised. Australia's richest person then dramatically tore up her $50 million sponsorship deal with Netball Australia, which had been set to run until the end of 2025. The move caught netball officials off guard and came after players had ultimately agreed to wear the logo. Just over a week after the contract was pulled, Netball Australia signed a $50 million sponsorship deal with Visit Victoria, currently running until the end of 2027. Wallum, 30, a Noongar woman from Western Australia who became the first Indigenous player in more than 20 years to represent Australia when she made her international debut for the Diamonds, shared a photo on Wednesday night of hate mail she received about the controversy from a woman named Mary. And the letter proposed to Instagram includes a mocking imitation of an Indigenous acknowledgement of country paying aspects to British and European elders. And as if she, as if the hate online wasn't enough, Mary thought she'd sent me a letter, the netballer wrote, "I'm beyond disgust and hurt, but I'll never stop advocating for my people, black, loud and proud, always." The letter accuses Wallum of being influenced by radical Aboriginals. "And I'm writing to you to express my sadness that your sick cost the Australian Diamonds $15 million caused by your radical influence comments about Gina Reinhart's father, Lang Hancock." It reads, "Mr. Hancock's comments about sterilisation of Aboriginals was disgusting and made by one man. However, at the time, his daughter was not yet born. As you were not yet born, you were influenced by the nasty activist Aboriginal clique that hates everything Australia. You fell into their spell and caused such loss of donations of Australian netball. Hang your head in shame, girl, for being manipulated by the radical Aboriginal filth." Mary adds that she went to school in Perth and had many good Noongar friends that I still love today. "You are a disgrace to the Noongar tribe," she wrote. "I will never watch you ever play." And she finishes the letter by telling Wallum to think about this, adding a mock acknowledgement of country that reads, "I acknowledge and pay my respects to the British and European elders, past and present, who introduced civil society prosperity to Australia." She adds, "I salute and pay homage to Lieutenant James Cook, FRS, who claimed Australia for the British Crown in 1770, and Admiral Arthur Phillip I, who in 1788, as Governor of New South Wales, established Australia's first civilization, which has since developed to become the most tolerant and generous civilization on the face of the globe. God bless Australia and protect it and its unique culture and politicians and those who would attempt to destroy it." Wallum supporters slammed the letter as disgusting. So there it is, kicking up dust in more ways than one. Have you saying yarn up strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
want to drink some coconut, if you want to drink some coconut, come to my home. Come to my home called coconut. If you want to drink some coconut, if you want to drink some coconut,
it's no good, this feeling of sorrow. Just go out and face it alone. And I'm waiting tonight, a watch in the night. And I'm thinking of just...
Yeah, to Daily Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live here at the First Station radio station here in Cairns and Yidinji country. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Yarn up, song your mob, 1-800-422-416. All right, Northern Peninsula Area Regional Council put out there the cultural festival, which unites the mob together. Every second year, Northern Cape York Peninsula is aflame with colour, culture, song and dance, with the remote Indigenous Festival Torch is lit, significantly peace and unity. And we're going to catch up a yarn and talk to Dev Langill, Art Centre Manager, Festival Coordinator, and we have Dev on the line. Dev, good morning. How are you?
Hey, and I didn't catch your name.
My name's Trevor. Dev, how are you going?
Trevor. Hi, Trevor.
And so,
all right, Trevor.
Where are you based?
I'm based in New Marpoon.
Okay, lovely, Dev. And thank you. You're the Arts Centre Manager, Festival Coordinator. How long have you been in that role, Dev?
Roughly about 2.5 years.
Good, good. Enjoying that journey?
It's a challenging journey.
Good, good.
But then I love a challenge, so...
Bring it on.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
So your fantastic festival, NPA Cultural Festival, which unites people. We've got 2024... headline performers, Mitch Tambo and funny man Sean Chulbra, a deadly duo, you could say.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Besides that, we have some local talent coming. One of our local teachers just happens to be an incredible performer with 600 songs to his repertoire.
Oh, okay.
And the Pacific, I forget.
Well, what's the local talent you're just talking about? 600 songs. What's his name?
He's a local teacher, Mackenzie.
Yes.
And he's actually teaching our young ones.
Oh, beautiful. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, it's such a festival. It brings people from all over Cape York. What are some of the community members, mob coming from their different tribal places?
So we have the Negoam dancers from May Island, or Murray Island, also known as.
Yes.
We have the Island Stars from TI under the guidance of Joey Laifu. Then we have the Cohen dancers.
Mm.
We have the Arakoon dancers. And then our local mobs.
Fantastic.
And that is the Bamaga dancers, the Injinu dancers, the Injinu Storm, Island dancers, and then another group who just came on board.
And Dev, where will it be held, the MPA Cultural Festival?
In Bamaga Oval.
In Bamaga. Bamaga
the Oval. Gino yes. Oval in Bamaga.
All right, fantastic. And this is a biannual thing. It happens every 2 years, does it?
Yes, it is. So I was privileged to do the last one.
Yes.
And now I do this one again.
Fantastic. And is it always at the same space, or do they move around the Cape?
Well, no, definitely not the Cape. But so it's always been run at the UCR Gino Oval.
Okay.
But there's talk then for the next one to move it. Around,
yes.
Up to Umachiko.
Okay, lovely, fantastic.
The next village up.
And, would you know, top of your head, how many people you expect to attend?
Oh, we want to see about 2,500, 3,000.
And it's a great opportunity, a platform for First Nation businesses as well, who sell their produce and products. That becomes a talking point too, doesn't it?
Well, most certainly. We have a lot of, we have 7 stalls selling locally made food, or kaikai as we call it up here.
Yes.
And then we have a number of arts and craft stalls that are actually involved. And yes, so we do have a focus. And it's more also about, especially to the visitors, to actually show them culture at work.
Okay, fantastic.
And the dancing is, of course, a huge part of that.
And we're about a week away, 11th and the 13th of July, to the 13th of July, is that right?
That's right.
Yeah, fantastic.
It's the 11th to the 13th, the 11th being sort of a soft welcome kaikai where all the dancers that have made it on Thursday are welcomed for food, and then we go from there.
All right, fantastic. Dev, thank you very much for sharing. Big shout out to you and your team. Big shout out to the mob up there. And the MPA Cultural Festival is a week away. Fantastic. And you take care. We'll yarn soon.
Great, mate. Thank you very much, Trevor.
Bye, Dev.
Bye.
Deadly yarn there. Dev Lengel, his name is, Arts Centre Manager, Festival Coordinator for the MPA Cultural Festival. And look, the headline performers, Mitch Tambor, beautiful voice, and our funny man, Shawnee Chilbra, two deadly brother. So you will have laughter, but you'll be entertained as well in more ways than one. Your daily program, National Talk Black, but 7 minutes left on the program, Yob. Have you say, squeezing a yarn, 1-800-422-416. Yarning with the bully one here. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black.
I got the walking train blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do.
Best I can do.
Got the walking train blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do.
Best I can do.
My dancing days are over, but that's all right. I hardly ever stay up late at night.
No need to boogie and no need to waltz. My legs have got some serious faults.
So I don't twist.
I don't shout. Just getting there is what it's all about.
I got the walking train blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do.
Best I can do.
Got the walking train blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do. Got 4 wheels of fire and a cushy seat. Just enough room for me at my feet. It's painted red and its brakes are tight.
We can do what it did at the traffic lights.
to go.
Just because
I got the walking train blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do.
Best I can do.
Got the walking train blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do.
Best I can do. No need to rush. I don't care if I'm late. No hurry up to the pearly gates.
Me and Mr. Zimmer were the best of friends. Bosom buddies when the evening ends.
So it's early to bed and early to rise. Just getting round is an old man's prize.
Got the walking train blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do. Walking frame blue, steady, steady is the best I can do.
Best I can do. My dancing days are over, but that's all right. Never stay up late at night.
So I don't twist, I don't shout.
Just getting there is what it's all about.
I got the walking train blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do.
Best I can do.
Got the walking train blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do.
Yeah, two beautiful Walking Frame Blues. Uncle Seam and Dan with us in spirit, and they look fantastic. This is the time where Trendy Trev signs off for today's program, you mob. Thank you for your company. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. And back in the hospital again tomorrow, that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Big shout out to the NERS team, National News Radio Service. Thank you for putting us across the country to Delhi. And also big shout to First Nation radio stations across this beautiful country of ours, a Delhi Black Network it is. Stay tuned to news. NIRS will be bringing the news, so stay tuned for that. Otherwise, you mate, you mob, keep smiling, take care. We'll yarn soon.
Spirit dreamer, super dreamer, the rainbow dreamer. Spirit dreamer, what you want, got that for ya. Not too late, don't give up. The road ahead, it opens for us, it opens to us. Devoted to ya, what you want, got that for ya. Rainbow dreamer. Separate with the people I've engaged, and we're destined to a state, and we've known it from the start. Do whatever it don't take. What you want, got that for ya. Not too late, don't give up. Initiated to lively hearts to bring good feelings.
Passage, feel the magic, earth and water, hope believes, still written in it.
Sweet surrender, feel your rage.